This is Victoria Davis, a.k.a. The Victator.
And this is Laura Jean Moore, a.k.a. New Brit.
And you are listening to Livin' and Lovin' in NYC.
Woo!
So, we are recording. You might have heard on the intro, our original intro, with good old New Brit, and that is because we have reunited for a few days. I'm down where she has settled in Savannah, Georgia.
Settled for now.
She's a mover and a shaker. We never know where she's going to end up. It's like, where's Waldo and all that. But we are actually recording from the outdoors, so you might hear some wind and some insects, which we decided we wanted to bring to you. If you're sitting in your office or your car or on the subway and forgot what the outdoors is like.
This is the low country. This is the sound of the low country. This is what they call this area.
Why do they call it the low country?
I think because the elevation is low, because it's next to the ocean.
Oh, all right.
It's that simple. So because the way that the geography works down here, there's the low country area, right, that's part of the coastline, mm-hmm. up and down from, like, the Outer Banks down through this area in South Georgia, and then you've got, like, the Savannah area, which mm-hmm. is, so there's Savannah, the city, which is where I live, mm-hmm. and then there's the Savannah, which is the low-lying sort of grasslands that are in South Georgia. They're now all agricultural farms and things, mm-hmm. and then you hit sort of right around Atlanta. And this extends across Alabama, too, in sort of the middle of the two states. You hit the Piedmont, which are rolling hills mm-hmm. that begin ramping up into North Georgia, which is the beginning of the Appalachian Mountains.
Gotcha.
So then you hit the mountains, and the mountain chain goes up, you know, mm-hmm. all the way up to where the Alleghenies are in
cool.
New York.
So we're in the low country, and we're on LJ's. I'm sorry, New Brit's. It's been so long since I've called her that. indoor porch.
Indoor outdoor porch.
We have screens to protect us from the bugs, and it's really beautiful out here. So we're gonna soon start talking about our pussies. That's our topic.
Yeah, vaginas.
But first, I wanna know, and other people probably wanna know, like, what's going on with you?
Deal?
Like what happened? So, like,
okay, so
what's your life like now, New Brit?
So there's so many things that happened. I think the last individual contributor, podcast that I sent you that for a while you were tacking these on, and then mm-hmm. I got real busy and I couldn't do them as much. I said I was moving to Savannah, and I wanted to sort of live my life a little quieter than I had been in New York. I had, like, a raucous, awesome 8 years there, but mm-hmm. I think I got to the point where, like, I wanted to write and I needed money. Mm-hmm. So that was a big deal. And I knew that I didn't want to spend another 8 years in New York. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think New York is really great. At the end of the day, I'm such a hermit. The goal, this is sort of a, and in fact, I've been thinking about this lately, the reason I said I'm not settled here is I think the long-term goal is to live somewhere in the Midwest where no one is around.
Yeah. That's, like, the opposite. Like, I love the Midwest, and I was selling Dippin' Dots last summer in Nebraska.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Slinging dots, I would say. But I think the best way you described it was you said you're not chill, and
yeah.
you need to be somewhere that's chill,
it's chill.
Because you're not chill.
Right.
And so New York is great, but
right.
it's not chill.
It's not chill.
It's
and
not
so,
chill.
Like, that plus my being not chill just, like, amps me
mm-hmm.
until, like, I am so wound up that I'm not my best self, like, mentally or heart-wise, and so it's been good to kind of have less stimulation,
yeah.
I guess, to that extent.
And I think also one of the last things that you told us is that you and Sexy Not Swarthy,
uh-huh.
You guys split up.
Yes, I broke up with Sexy Not Swarthy.
And
it's true.
So what's your sexy romantic situation currently?
So I broke up with Sexy Not Swarthy. I, shortly thereafter, honestly, to some extent, before I even broke up with him, was I had this dear old friend that, and I think you and I have talked about this a little bit, but for our listeners, they should know, I had this dear old friend that I have been friends with for 5.5 years, mm-hmm. and I didn't realize that he had pretty much been in love with me since we met, but he had, like, never done any overtures in that direction, mm-hmm. and as soon as I was single, it made a space for that to be possible, mm-hmm. like, to actually confess that, and for me to kind of realize, like, oh my gosh, this is one of my favorite people in my life, that I would love to be with them in a more romantic capacity. And so, anyway, long story short, our house is now called House of Scandal because things accelerated real quick, mm-hmm. and I invited him down to live with me, and I kid you not, I invited him to move in before we even kissed, and we kissed for the first time in what is now our kitchen. Mm-hmm. And that first day, oh my God, like, I think we had all this, like, brooding sexual tension that mm-hmm. hadn't been taken care of.
Because you guys were mostly communicating over the internet and Skype, right?
We had been, like, texting and chatting, yeah. and calling each other on the phone and Skyping. And we had, like Skyping was, like, the, you know, you go through the different levels mm-hmm. of long-distance communication, because he was still living in New Jersey at the time. So when he got down here, it was very, very exciting because we were in the same proximity. But it was also very nerve-wracking because, like, I didn't know if we were going to kiss and I was going to be like, well, maybe we should stay friends.
Yeah.
Like, that was totally a possibility.
Yeah. No, I wasn't too concerned about you getting in something quickly, but the only level that I was concerned about, which you've discussed, is that, like, we were Facebook chatting, mm-hmm. and you were like, oh my God, I'm in love, I haven't felt this way since this time, and, like, blah, 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 and I was like, cool. Have you boned yet?
Yeah, and I was like, it's coming. We're gonna bone.
Yeah.
So the first day,
and you said that you told him. Yeah. You're like, so just so you know, we gotta figure out if the boning works before, like,
right.
any, like, serious, like, you can come down and all that. But if we don't, if we bone and we don't like it, we gotta abandon ship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And part of that too is because I, in the recent past, I'm not gonna specify who in the last couple of years, this was the case, but I've had less than stellar sex lives with some of the people that I have been in a relationship with, and it was really important to me that the next time or the forever, the next few times, if it ends up being more than once, I just want to have a good sex life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm old enough now. I know what I like. I know what I want.
Yeah.
That's important to me. I need that as a component of my romantic relationship. So.
Agreed, 100%. I want to start talking about our pussies, but I do, maybe if we have time, we can talk a little bit more about bad sex, because I've actually wanted to talk about bad sex for a while on the show.
Yeah.
But
we can do both, because that's relevant to pussies.
Oh, absolutely.
Because sometimes if people don't pay attention to, like, your individual pussy, you can end up with some bad sex.
Oh, absolutely. And that goes for the gender of any gender. I've had men that, like, didn't really know about pussy,
and I've had women that don't
know about pussy, and I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Wait, so, can I just be real quick? I just want to top off the end of the how the House of Scandal came to be, which is that when he got down here, we kissed that first moment, and I was like, thank God you smell good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we almost boned right there in the kitchen, but I was, like, real hungry, so I was like, let's just wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went and got seafood, and then we came back, and then we boned. And we boned for, like, 6 hours.
Nice.
It was great.
Nice. I like it. I like it.
And then I was like, okay, this will be fine.
I like it a lot. Yeah, and I've met this guy, and he's a lovely gentleman. You guys seem good together, so I'm very happy for you. I miss you like a
Thank
fucking
you. Oh my God, I miss
motherfucker.
You like a motherfucker, like, all the time. I come home some days, and I'm like, God damn it, I just want to go out with the dictator and talk about some shit. It's been rough.
It's rough for me. You know, there are people in New York, but there aren't a lot of new Brits.
And there's definitely no dictator in Savannah. I can say that unequivocally without contingency.
I'm glad there's no, like, southern dictator. So as we begin the story of pussy, I want to make an announcement, which is that both... No, you know this announcement.
Okay.
Which is that both you and I, Newbert, have our period right now.
It's true.
We're both, like, bleeding.
And it's your fault that I have my period.
Yeah,
right now.
It is.
Because of the magic of the pussy.
Yeah, because you know, some of you have probably heard this, like, theory or whatever, that women can sync to each other, Newbert here, who claims she's very regular, she was early because, like, I got my bloodiness going on,
yeah.
And very shortly after, she did. So, not only it's a house of scandal, it's a house of blood.
It's right a house now. Of blood right now.
Yeah, it's a house of blood.
We're blood sisters.
Yeah, we are. So pussies. Do you want to maybe tell the story of what we discovered about pussies last night that is a shame that we didn't know, and I'm shocked that we didn't know,
okay.
And that maybe some of our listeners don't know?
Right. So this began because we saw Ghostbusters, and I'm obsessed with Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, I am now, too.
Because she's amazing, and she's
hot.
So hot.
Hot.
She's so hot. And so we were watching the Celesbian interviews by, I think it's Julie Goldman?
I don't know.
Like that. Anyway, she is one of her comedian friends, and they interview famous celebrities and stuff, and they had Nina Hartley on there, who is a porn star.
Yeah.
Who identifies, I think what she said is a lesbian identified bisexual.
Right. Yeah.
And they, like, she's, like, real into women.
Yeah.
And, like, she tends to, like, really butch women. Although
yeah.
she had, like, some weird dichotomies about, like...
She did. Butch and femme.
How butch and femme tracks in regards to sub and dom, which I didn't think were...
Yeah. Top and bottom. Which
yeah.
we've discussed ad nauseum on this show. And for anyone who just hasn't listened to those episodes, like... One problem I have with, like, the way people perceive butch and femme, particularly because people put me in the butch box, is that, like, what your gender presentation is, for lack of a better term, dictates or victates how
you like to bone.
How you like to bone.
Which is
like, for instance,
true.
Like, that all quote-unquote butches are tops and all quote-unquote femmes are bottoms.
Which is not true.
She was going off, she was like, yeah, I can't be with a femme because they're just going to lay there, and I don't think she used the term pillow princess.
I think she
but
did
that
say
was
pillow
like,
princess.
Yeah.
She was implying
like, yeah,
that all femmes are pillow princesses.
Yeah, no, and
as
someone who generally dates people more... I hate to use the term feminine, but I would say who are perceived to be more feminine than I am. Yeah, like, no. That's not the case when you're...
Right. Oh my God.
Not at all. I couldn't handle a fucking pillow princess. I would be so pissed off if I encountered a pillow princess. But you know, she also said she came of age, like, in the 70s in the Bay Area, and so maybe, like, that was, a lot more of the culture
right.
at the time.
Right.
That...
That's
which
how you
is, which
signaled
like to
what
fuck.
You're into, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Butches like to fuck one way, and femmes like to fuck
yeah.
another. But I'm sorry.
But anyway,
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So go on.
She eventually got out this pussy puppet.
Yeah.
That was basically a giant vagina, and she was sitting there, and she was talking about, like, the different parts of the vagina, and what you can do with them, mm-hmm. and, like, what they were, and with the differences, and, like... the different labia and things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in the middle of this, we all started wondering, like, okay, how does the vagina get lubricated?
Yeah.
Because we all felt like we thought we knew.
And we had different ideas.
We had different ideas about it.
I thought, and this is so embarrassing that we don't fucking know this, I thought that the lubrication came out of the vagina, meaning, like, you know, the big hole. And my ethos for that was, like, well, you know, like, biologically, that makes sense to lubricate for the penetration and all that, but, like, also it's like whenever I'm masturbating or if I'm fingering someone, like, you know, you always reach down to get the lubrication to bring it up to the
right.
clit to get
right.
the slippiness going
okay,
on.
Okay, so but I was confused because, like, I was like, but when you put a tampon in, if it was just in the walls of the vagina, like, that wouldn't make sense.
You wouldn't get wet. But, like...
Right? And so I was like, maybe it comes out... This is so embarrassing. Maybe it comes out of the pee hole,
you know? You thought it came out of the urethra.
I thought it came out of the urethra.
Yeah.
Like, okay, and so I was, like, so wrong.
Yeah. No, we were all wrong.
We were all wrong.
And also, my girlfriend is on this vacation as well, and she said it was okay for me to say this. She also didn't know. So, your lover was here.
Right.
And so, you know, he's a dude, so he gets a pass for not knowing. But, like...
But he's also, like, really knowledgeable generally
about
that sort
of thing.
Yeah,
he seems like it. The three of us are, like, you know, three cisgendered ladies who have no idea how we get wet.
And very familiar with
who
vaginas.
Who fuck women. We're, like, three women who fuck women. And we have no idea
how our vagina gets wet. And so we had to look it up, of course. And even when we looked it up, it wasn't clear.
No, the Google, you had to be really careful about, like, what you Google, because I kept Googling, because I first started with why do you get wet even when you have a tampon in? And of course, all like the first results I was getting was like, oh, my tampon's stuck, I can't get it out, and like, you know, can you have sex with a tampon in, and like all sorts of stuff like that. I don't know what.
And then I looked up
questions.
Like women's lubricant, and of course, all that brought up was ads for like KY jelly and things like that. And then finally, it was like, okay, how do women get lubricated, or how do vaginas get wet?
Yeah.
And then we found an article from Bustle, I think, that said that there was this gland, but it was very confusing where it said it was.
It's still confusing.
It's still confusing, honestly, because it said that there's this gland called the Bartholin's gland.
Yeah.
That it, and in the article it said, okay, this is why I'm confused. The article said it was between the vagina and the vulva, but we're like, no, that's
not. How does that even make sense? Because the vulva is like the whole exterior.
Right, it's the whole exterior
of the pussy.
Right, and the vagina is the interior shaft.
So what the hell does that mean?
Okay, so then we looked up pictures.
Yeah.
We're like, surely someone.
Yeah, we need to know at this point. We need to know.
Like done some anatomy, and now honestly I'm skeptical even after we saw the picture, because according to the picture there's this gland at the base of the vaginal opening,
but it's right beneath or something like that.
But the thing is, there's not another hole there,
and there's not,
so it's got to be coming through the membrane.
It feels like, yeah, it's like a porous situation,
because I did see
like sweating or something
right. Okay, so I did see this other diagram that showed sort of the little cells of the wall of the vagina rearranging themselves to allow liquid to pass through. So maybe it is like a sweating situation, but the gland that produces the lubricant, the Bartholin's gland, we think is at the base of the vagina. If there are any listeners out there who are actual gynecologists or medical professionals, or even like people who specialize in anatomy,
really fucking
please
knows.
Clear this up for us, because now we have this word, the Bartholin's gland, but like we don't really still understand the whole mechanism for how this happens.
We just know that it happens,
which, you know, in some ways just adds to the magic of the vagina. But I must say, my lover made a good point last night. He was like, if you want to look up pussies, you get tons of pictures of porn of pussies, but God forbid you need to know how one works.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's real hard to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just like stumbled upon this when we had already decided to talk about pussies. So it was a good way for us to jump into the conversation. I think when we decided to talk about pussies, that was because of this viral Facebook picture that maybe some of you saw, where some, if you'll remember what
I'll
I'm
remember
saying,
it was okay.
Where some mother made two vaginas.
Oh my god.
She simulated two vaginas using like
she made
deli meat.
Sandwich.
Like with sandwiches, and said, this is what my daughter's vagina looks like, and this is what Taylor Swift's vagina looks like. And Taylor Swift's vagina
vagina sandwich.
It was Taylor Swift's vagina sandwich was made with a lot of deli meat that was coming out of the external labia. Because some vagina is the
inner, or the roll, if you will.
The bun.
The bun. Because,
and all of you, many of you know this, hopefully, you know, vaginas are very different. There are some where the inner labia is, like, bigger and comes out more, you know, and then there are other vaginas where the inner labia is, you can't see unless you spread the bun.
Because the outer labia come to a close.
Yeah. But it was fucking crazy, because not only was she saying that those types of vaginas where the inner labias are larger and more exterior ugly, but also that like if you had a lot of sex,
that
it would change like the way
vagina
is situated.
If you had a lot of sex, instead of being like neatly tucked in, like a good, like apparently a virgin vagina, like it looks like a Ziploc bag, basically.
Yeah.
And a
slutty vagina is like a exploded vagina.
Yeah, and as many people pointed out, like that's not how vaginas work. Like,
no, and though some of you might be skeptical at this point that we know how vaginas work. We do know
that
that's not the case, because my vagina, it's the way that it looks has not changed since puberty, since before or after sex.
Same.
With men, with dildos, with whatever, with faces, with hands.
Right.
My vagina just tends to stay the same.
The vagina you're born with is pretty much, yeah, once you go through puberty, that's the vagina you have.
Yeah.
And granted, like, okay, it is the case that when you have a baby...
Oh, yeah, it can change a bit.
That it can change a bit.
Yeah.
Either because you have tearing and then it heals a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Or because, like, your actual vaginal canal gets stretched and it takes a minute for it to kind of squinch back down to what it's normally. But, like, that's another thing, this myth that just because you've had babies that, like, your vagina is somehow...
It's not true for
just,
everyone.
Yeah, it's just shot to hell forever. It's not true. Do not worry, women.
Yeah.
Your vagina is incredibly elastic.
Yeah, and also, and this is not to dissuade or persuade anyone to have babies at certain times in their life, but how old you are, you know, when you have a baby is a factor, how many babies you've had is a factor, all those things. And I have encountered a vagina before, the same vagina.
Right.
And when I'm using the term vagina here, I'm referring to the vulva and all that stuff too. I'm just using it as a loose term, but yes, I know the difference. I encountered a pussy before a baby was born and after a baby was born, the same pussy, and there was absolutely no difference inside or outside. Now, granted, it was a young woman, and so, you know, she had maybe had a little more elasticity there, but yeah, it's not gonna. And also, you know what's interesting is I had this conversation with some friends of mine about fisting, because as I think I've mentioned on the show, I've only fisted once.
Uh-huh.
And the person that I fisted, where, like, my whole fist got in there,
uh-huh,
that's someone who hadn't had a lot of sex.
Yeah.
You're born, like, and she hadn't had a baby. You know, the size of your vagina, like, your vaginal canal, is mostly predetermined.
Right. No, totally.
You know, and then I've been with women who've had a lot of sex, and I'm when I'm saying sex, I'm saying all different kinds of sex, but I've been with women who've had a lot of dicks up in there,
uh-huh,
or a lot of dildos up in there. And, you know, who are much tighter,
right,
than this person who did
right.
not.
Right, it has nothing to do with use.
Yeah.
Really.
So, like, don't, like, worry, like, if you're, like, with someone with a big old dick and you're, like, trying to save your, like, tightness. For the most part, it's not going to affect it that much.
So something that I have encountered with certain male partners is if they get really used to one vagina, they, like... have to be sort of retrained in a new vagina, and things you wouldn't expect. I don't mean like, well, this person comes this way.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the angle of the vaginal canal.
Oh yeah.
So like entry, like
yeah,
if you're entering with a dildo or a dick, like the way you enter is different depending on the actual shape of that particular woman's vagina.
Right.
And, like, it like, doesn't work. Like, there are people... So I know that my vaginal canal is super forward,
mm-hmm,
apparently. Like, when... and you can find this out. If you when you go for your pap smear, you can ask your gynecologist which direction your vaginal canal tilts. A lot of women... And we often think that, okay, it's just straight up and down, but that's actually not the case. A lot of women's vaginal canals tilt either towards their belly button or towards their spine.
Hmm.
And... which I think is super interesting. Mine's very tilted forward.
Huh.
And so positions that enter from behind work really well with me.
Yeah.
If somebody is on top of me, they have to come from below and up.
Okay.
They can't, like, push down.
Oh, I see.
Because they'll, like, hit...
Yeah, you'll hit, like,
the bottom of my woman's vaginal wall. Like, that thing is not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going in, you know? And whereas other women, I know this from experience and from talking to other women, like, their vaginal canals sometimes, like, tilt... If it tilts more towards the back,
mm-hmm,
then the way you enter with your fingers a dildo or a dick is going to be just totally different.
That's fascinating. You know, I have no idea which way I tilt. I've never asked a gynecologist, and I'm trying to think about entry points. I mean, I don't know. This is interesting. It's something I maybe want to play around with later.
see how things
go. Yeah. Like, let's try entering this way.
Right.
No, this way. No. but also, and so not to blow up your spot, but I actually don't think that we've talked about this on the show, but we have talked about it in person. you, and as you've mentioned on the show, you've fucked a lot.
Uh-huh.
But there are some times when you've encountered dicks that were just too big. You think that you, you've said that you believe that you have a tinier
from vagina. What I understand, so in the Kama Sutra, they have, like, designations of size of vaginas and size of dicks based on different animals. Huh. And I'm gonna mess this up. I think, if I remember correctly, there's, like, a mouse. I think it's a mouse, a deer, and an elephant.
Hmm.
And they talk about how if you or someone with an elephant vagina, you shouldn't be with someone with, like, a mouse dick. And that if you're someone with a mouse vagina, you shouldn't be with someone with an elephant dick. And then deer, it can kind of go either way because, like, you're a great pitch hitter. You can go.
Yeah.
You can fit in different size things. So what I have encountered is that, and this is actually, okay, so I had, like, a nose when I was sleeping with a lot of dudes for somehow finding people that had large penises.
Okay.
And not on purpose.
Okay.
And across ethnicity.
Okay.
And I had just kind of resigned myself to the fact that sex was going to be a little bit painful.
Oh.
And was going to require a lot of extra lubrication.
Yeah.
Because a tight fit requires more lubrication.
Yes.
Because I get wet.
Yeah.
But, like, when there's a lot of friction, like, you're gonna have to keep reliving. Anyway, and then I encountered someone whose dick was, like, regular size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the sex wasn't painful, and it was freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, I have a smaller vagina.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. And so what happened after that, after I got that knowledge, is I was like, when I encountered larger dicks again, I would just go straight to anal.
Mm. I remember you telling me, this is, like, one of the first things that you ever told me, New Brit. You said that sometimes you see a penis and you go, oh my god, you can put that in my butt, but not in my pussy.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
And again, that's another funny thing, because, like, people's, like, your comfortability with the size of things in your ass is going to depend on individual.
Yeah.
And so, like, in my case, I am just much more comfortable
with a big
taking
dick in
a large dildo or dick in my ass than in my vagina.
You know, it's like, here's the thing. So as I mentioned in our first episode, I have a fantasy about a George Costanza type with a short, stumpy penis.
Oh, like a toad.
Yeah, but the thing is, I've never experienced a short penis. And, I would say, you know, I don't sleep with men that often, as listeners probably know. You know, it's like, it's very sporadic and once in a while. But, because I'm just frankly not that attracted to dudes. But what the weird thing is I think I might have this big dick nose myself because I have only encountered big penises.
Well, there you go.
And I'm talking about, like, huge
just like
penises.
Like, shockingly
From my
a baby's arm holding
from my first penis to my last penis.
Yeah.
They've all been, like, really fucking big dicks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that said, I've also picked out dildos that are, like, average size, and so I know what it's like to have an average size, like, thing inside you, you know?
Right.
And it does. It moves a lot better. It, like, works a lot better. I'm more likely to come from penetration, which I don't come from penetration that often, but I've never come from a penis, but I've come from dildos, and they've all been, like, the average size ones, not the big ones. But the thing is, on the rare occasion I do fuck a dude, because, like, I'm kind of used to, like, that it being, like, slightly painful, that's kind of part of the kink for me. Because since I'm not that attracted to dudes, like, I kind of want it to be, like, this rough, dirty, like, disgusting situation.
Well, the grotesqueness kind of adds
to and so the painfulness is kind of, like, part of that. But also, it's, like, because since I'm more, much, like, 99 times more likely to come from clitoral stimulation than I am from penetration.
Oh, totally. As most women are.
Not all, but most. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and I also want to say, I'm going to stop for 1 second and say, how you like to be fucked and how you come have nothing to do with who you like to fuck. Because I remember I was telling this friend of mine who was a gay guy.
That is such an important point. I'm so glad you said that.
I was talking to my friend who's a gay guy about this. I was like, oh yeah, you know, like, the majority of women don't come from penetration, they come from clitoral stimulation. He was like, you're probably just talking about lesbians, right? And I was like, no, that has nothing to do with it. I'm not saying that if you're a woman who doesn't or rarely comes from right. vaginal penetration that you don't like it or even love it.
Right.
It's just like, it just might not be what gets you to
what
orgasm.
Gets you to, right, to
you know
orgasm.
What I mean?
Totally.
But the point is, so when I'm doing it, since I'm not likely to come, that's just like, it's like the intensity of the experience is like involves the pain, because otherwise I'll just kind of be like, I'm not really getting much from this. But so it's like, it's more of like, this is how I feel it, is through the pain.
Right.
You know what I mean? If that makes any sense.
Right.
What does your pussy look like? I don't know what your pussy looks like.
It's true. You've never seen my
pussy. I've never seen your pussy.
Although, Gail Manis has seen my pussy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Miss Manis. For those of you that might not remember from our episode 4 Cunnilingus episode, it was revealed that my current co-host and new Brit here, my former co-host, they have banged.
It's true.
So she's seen your pussy and you've seen her pussy.
Yes.
I won't ask about her pussy because
it's not my place.
It's not your place. So I will maybe ask her about her pussy one day. Perhaps on the show, but oh my god, so Newbert is making this face right now. Her eyes just rolled back in her head. She's clearly like imagining Gail Manis's pussy, and like she's blushing. So I'm just gonna say, regardless of what it looked like, you liked it.
It was lovely.
What's your pussy look like? Tell me.
So I just want to say, I know that a lot of women, if you have not looked at their pussies very much.
Yeah, look at your fucking pussy.
I have looked at my pussy a lot. Yeah. And I did that initially when I was younger out of curiosity.
Yeah.
But then when I got the herp when I was 18, mm-hmm. I like had to check it out to be like, what is going on down there?
Yeah.
And then after that, like I would just monitor and be like, anytime I got an itch, you know, I was like, oh shit, is this like a yeast infection or is this a herp coming on? And it's interesting because I've been in remission now for years.
Yeah.
But I still just check it out to like make sure everything's on the up and up. And so anyway, I'm very familiar. What I'm about to tell you,
you know your pussy.
Just like hours of research.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, so my pussy is one of the pussies that has the larger outer labia.
I knew it. I don't know how, I just knew it.
It, like, it comes to, like, if you see one of those baby dolls that has the little line mm-hmm. of the vagina, mine does that. Like, it closes, so you can't see my inner labia.
Oh, okay.
When I'm just, like, sitting around.
Okay.
You know, and then obviously all my hair is on there, and I keep my hair, like, trimmed, but not gone. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to have some hair stimulation on there. And then my inner labia, this is my actual favorite part of my vagina, because I consider it like my unique fingerprint.
Okay.
Which is that my inner labia, the left inner labia, is slightly longer than the right.
Now, when you're saying your left, is that if you're... So
it's
your
my
left?
My left.
Okay, so when you're lying down...
When I'm lying down.
Your left hand goes down, and that's where your larger inner labia is?
Right. That's where it's slightly longer than the right.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so this is something that I've actually pulled my girlfriends to find out about, because, like, my clit is so high from my actual vaginal opening that if I'm fucking with someone who has, like, a dildo or a dick, I will not get any clitoral stimulation unless there is a specific, like, hand mm-hmm. or we're wedged against each other in such a way that it's specifically touching my clit. Mm-hmm. Actually, moving something in and out of my vagina doesn't touch my clit at all.
Gotcha.
And so my two little inner labia come up to my hood, and then my clitoris is in there. And one of the things when she was talking last night on the show about the clitoris is like sort of this hot pleasure button. Like, I can't take any stimulation directly on the head of my clit.
Yeah.
Like, it is excruciating because it is so intense and painful.
Yeah.
And so I tend to enjoy stimulation. What did she call it? On, like, the root?
The shaft.
Which I
had never heard before as a description. You described it in episode 4 as the double bass.
As the double bass string.
Double bass string.
That's, like, right up. It's, like, above where the clit is. It's under the skin. And if you press down, you can feel it against your pubic
bone. Yeah, and it kind of feels like a line. Which is why it feels like a string.
Exactly.
But I never heard it described as a shaft before,
which I think
is brilliant.
Brilliant. Because it's kind of like, If I was a dude, my preferred method of masturbation would be the shaft, like rubbing the shaft without rubbing the glands, because it's too much.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do like a dick to clitoral comparison. And what analogy? There you go. Okay, so then, and then below my clitoris, there's like that smooth area, mm-hmm. you know, and I like stimulation on that as well, mm-hmm. Especially with the tongue. Now, this is the thing, I can handle direct clitoral stimulation if it comes up. If it's the tongue uh-huh. coming up from the vaginal opening okay. over that flat area, yeah. over the clit, yeah. like flat, smooth tongue, mm-hmm. and then like around
yeah.
the around inside the inner labia mm-hmm. and inside the labia majora, mm-hmm. oh my god. Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Yes! Yes, queen. Okay, so, because I think we've talked about this before, that the way that I come with men and women, so I actually found out that I think I'm multi-orgasmic, and I think, you know, last show, yeah. y'all talked about that a little yeah. bit. I'll have, like, these, what I call little orgasms
little
when
blips.
I'm fucking, like, these yeah. little blips that are like, it's like being shocked by a taser while I'm fucking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're pleasurable and they're interesting, but they're not my favorite.
They don't kind provide like the big release.
Right.
Yeah.
And for me, the big release comes, I have to have somebody sucking on my tits.
Yeah.
It is my favorite thing on the whole fucking planet.
And so when they're sucking on your tits, what's happening down there?
Down below, I like to use my hand with yeah. the double bass string.
Yeah.
Until I hit that bottoming out. Mm-hmm. And for me, visually, when I have one of my really big sort of, I'm in a trance, like these full body orgasms, mm-hmm. there's a tension building, a tension building, tension building. And it's like I'm climbing a mountain and then I hit a plateau and then it's like the ground falls out beneath me.
Mm.
And in my case, if it's a really great orgasm, it literally falls out, like the sensation goes to my toes.
Huh.
And gathers
yeah.
and pools in my feet.
Huh.
And then it shoots up through my body. Like up my legs, hits my vagina. And so what I like to do is as soon as the bottom falls out, like I know there's like no stopping it.
Yeah.
Okay. So if someone has been sucking on my tits and I've been like touching myself until I get to that point, mm-hmm. I will like be like, go, go, go. And what I want is I want them to get their face down between my legs
yeah.
like right now.
Yeah.
Because if they do that, I will come so hard
yeah.
and I will come over and over and over mm-hmm. and over again. And I broke a bed this way
yeah.
one time. I clamped my legs so hard on someone's face that I flipped us both over and broke my bed.
Nice.
Nice. and which I think is fucking hilarious and fantastic, because usually when people think about breaking the bed, they think it's from riding each other
yeah,
so
yeah,
hard, you know,
like, and it was it's just like you flailing around.
Right, I was flailing.
Yeah,
and I took them with my flail.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's very...
So that's my vagina and what I like to do with my vagina.
Yeah.
That's true with men and women. When I'm fucking a man or a woman and I get to the place where I'm like, I can't take it anymore, I have to have my big one,
mm-hmm.
that's how I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You gotta know yourself.
Yeah.
For the record, I think I've said this before, but I definitely recommend masturbating while having sex.
Oh, so,
Because
yeah.
it's not only hot, but it's also, if you really care about the person and you want them to have the best experience possible, don't be a little bitch. Let them fucking touch
right.
themselves the way they
want. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Unless that's, like, your kink and y'all are doing the denial thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah. Oh, God. You know, like, it's weird. I'll get to my pussy in a second, but I used to be more into the denial thing when
uh-huh.
I was younger, but, like...
Like having to wait for it.
Yeah, yeah. So, so when we're saying denial, we're talking about orgasm denial, where you're like really like
getting amped.
Yeah. So someone gets really close and then you stop, and then someone gets close and then you stop and all that, and that's really hot and cool.
I think some people call it edging.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I really kind of abandoned that in my sex life a while ago. I used to be into it a lot, but here's why. I didn't abandon it for good reasons. I abandoned it for bad reasons.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember when I was telling about you when I had the yips?
Yeah, oh my gosh, yes, of course
okay,
I remember when you had the yips.
So for those that don't know the term yips, that's I think it's attributed to Chuck Knobloch, who was the second baseman for the New York Yankees, who all of a sudden just wouldn't stop. He'd always been fine at like making the play to first base, throwing the ball, but then one day he dropped the ball, and then after that he made something like 30 or 40 errors, like just like suddenly couldn't hit the first baseman's mitt, even though he'd been doing it his whole fucking life. So I got the yips.
He got the yips. He couldn't do it anymore. He got nervous.
Because it got in his head.
It got in his head. Yeah.
So I got the yips when it came to, like, lady orgasms, where I had always had no problem reaching that, having someone else reach that point with me. And then all of a sudden, I ended up with this girl that, you know, that just really didn't have them that often. I mean, and that was, like, in her, like, just her own experience all the time.
She just did it.
And she, like, told me. She was like, she's like, just so you know, like, it's fine. Like, I just don't have them that much. And so, if someone says that to you, dude, just, like, calm down and, like... Like, just, like, take their fucking word for it.
And don't make it make your sure, personal
make sure,
project.
Make sure... Oh, yeah, no, because that's the least sexy fucking thing in the world.
Oh, it's so unsexy.
Absolutely. But the thing is, then, we did get to the point eventually where she started having them. But again, she didn't have them... Like, she'd maybe have them, like, one out of every five times we fucked. But the thing is, after her, because I was so, like, used to that, I then started, like, getting in my head when I was with, like, new people.
Oh, no!
And no, I know. This was terrible. This is terrible.
You transferred the gifts.
I did. I transferred the... No, and that's when the gifts became my problem. Because,
right.
Because it was her body that was, like, she was like, yeah, I don't have them that much with myself. Like, you know, I need to use a vibrator when I use, you know, and, like... And
but you internalized that you somehow had forgotten how to give women
orgasms. I did. Because the thing is that stopped being like the focal point, you know, which again is a good thing that that's not like all you're focusing on, but then like I didn't quite know how to get back to that, and so then for like the first few people I slept with, like after that, like it became my own personal project, which sucks. I knew it was happening, but I didn't know how to
right.
I didn't
it's
know
so
how to
hard
turn
to
it
get
off.
Out of that once
I didn't
you get in that rut
off.
Yeah.
Anyway, the yips ended up ending in a really glorious way with someone who I was seeing casually for a while. And once I broke the yips, I kind of just broke the yips for good, which is great.
That's great.
The thing is, since the yips, the yips are over.
The yips, okay.
But like now, I'm too afraid to edge because I'm afraid. I'm afraid once I start edging, then it's like never gonna happen. This is a neurosis. This is not something that
okay,
I like.
That's actually interesting because like I definitely went through a period where I was afraid to edge.
Yeah.
Or I was afraid. Because I was afraid I would lose it, like the rabbit would run away.
Uh-huh.
I have another girlfriend who talks about her orgasms like they're a rabbit, and like sometimes she'll get distracted and the rabbit will run away.
Oh, yeah. No. I think we've all experienced that.
Yeah.
Like, at least all cisgendered women, which is like, or maybe we haven't, I don't know. But like, but I definitely feel like this is a common experience that like, you know, you're getting there, and then one thing changes.
Like one thing changes.
Like either like someone like moves over like a 116th of like a centimeter,
right.
And then like and
right.
then and then it's like,
you're
it's,
like
done.
It's done.
It's just
it's
not
gonna
happen.
Happen.
You've lost it. You know what I mean? And so,
okay, so this brings up something which is funny to me, which is I think sometimes some people their easiest way to get off is to be surprised. But a lot of women I know, they know how they like to do it. They want it done the way they like it. They have their way.
Yeah, I don't know
like,
what you're talking about. Because honestly, like, any woman I've ever known, whether I was sleeping with them or not, are like, no, I want, like...
This way.
Well,
and
yeah.
I think some people, though, who are sleeping with women who like it this way every time will be afraid they're not being interesting enough because they're not doing enough variety. But it's like, no, this is how I fucking
how
have amazing orgasms.
Get off.
Like, let's go.
And I'm not saying that surprises can't happen.
Right.
But, like, because there have been times... You know, like for instance, the first time I had like a vaginal penetrative orgasm, I'd never had one before, and like, whoops, there it went. You know, and there it happened. I mean, there are things that can change.
Yeah, absolutely,
no doubt. But like,
the first time I squirted, it was a total surprise.
Exactly. Those things are surprises. So I'm not saying it's not possible, but I've never heard anyone say like, oh yeah, I need it to be like completely different, like every single time. Like no.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And when you're with a new person, you know, I find, I don't know if I've said this before on the show. I've definitely said it in personal life. I don't believe in people being good in bed. I don't believe that there are
people. I love this.
Yeah.
Let's go with this.
Yeah. Whenever, like, oh, that person's good in bed, that person's bad in bed.
There's
chemistry and skill, but here's the thing about skill.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe in okay, now, certainly having knowledge of the anatomy is going to help you.
Right.
Absolutely, and you're an asshole if you don't try and know the anatomy of anyone you're sleeping with. Like,
right.
Like, you suck, you're dumb, fuck off. But, like, I have said this, there's no mechanical, like, how-to. where skill comes into place, the only skill that I absolutely believe in is the skill of learning, the skill of paying attention.
Paying attention.
That's not, the skill.
It's like learning, and the paying attention, too, is like what's happening in the moment.
Yeah.
Because I've had people who, I've slept with people who were capable of sitting down and having a conversation about sex and could learn that way, but they just weren't really paying attention
in the moment.
In the moment, because, for whatever reason, they're... Sex to them was something that they did to a person, not something that was an interactive experience.
Right, right. Which
is honestly not fun.
No, it's not. And, like, especially, like...
At least to me.
Yeah, but it's, like... So that's really the only skill that I believe in, is the skill of, like, of paying attention and learning. And I think that some people are better at that than others.
Yeah.
But definitely, like... Being good in bed and bad in bed. I think there's someone who is good in bed with you and bad in bed with you. You know,
it's also like what you're into.
Oh, yeah, and what you're into.
If it complements each other.
But, like, there's things. Like, I feel like... I feel like there are people I've fucked who I thought were bad in bed with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've heard other people who fucked them.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, yeah, they're great in bed.
Oh, interesting.
And so, like, it was our personal chemistry that didn't work out. And,
right.
You know, and by the same token, I'm here to tell you, there are people who I have been bad in bed with. There are people who I've been great in bed with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
same.
Yeah, exactly. There are times where I'm just like, oh, man, that person did not get my best
They did not get it.
At all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know...
That's so true.
And there are a variety of reasons for that. One is chemistry, another is communication, for sure. And then, the second I started making things my personal project, you know, when
right.
I was, when I had the yips, no one in that situation was getting my best
right.
fucks, like,
right.
whatsoever. So, you know, these are just things, like, these are just things that I say think about when you, there's a car here that's playing some music from their, oh, they turned it off.
Okay,
that's
good.
So, I'm gonna talk about my pussy.
Okay, yeah, we need to do that.
All right, so my pussy...
Okay, because I also have never seen your pussy.
Yeah,
I've seen your tits.
Yeah, yeah, and we've discussed this. We've seen
right.
each other's tits, and we have a plan to one day Skype and drink beer with our shirts off.
Right.
And just, like
just
bros.
Like tits
and,
out.
Yeah, bros, boobs, and beers.
Bros, boobs, and beers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this
we're just
is
gonna,
the best plan ever.
Yeah, 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 I know.
Yeah.
We need to do
How
this.
How do we not do this already?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but, so...
Your vagina.
My pussy.
Your pussy.
Is,
Which I love that term, by the way.
Pussy?
Pussy is such a good term.
I love it. I also like cunt, but not when a man's calling a woman that.
Agreed.
In sex, I love when like,
sex,
someone
love
tells me, like, I have a pretty cunt
yeah,
or whatever.
What
like, that's really
cunt.
Fucking... That's
uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But, so my pussy is like, so, okay. So, I have my, like, my bun.
Uh-huh.
My outer labia, right?
Uh-huh.
And you can see part of my...
Partial.
Inner labia. What you can see is I, like you, have one inner labia, one lip that is longer than the other. Mine
yes.
is my right.
Oh, my God.
Mine is my right. Yours is the left. Mine
of
is...
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Complimentary.
So mine is
complimentary inner labia.
Yeah. So mine is my right, and that, like, peeks out of the bottom.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It, like, kind of, like, comes out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then even at the top, you can also, like, see... You know the, like, flap of skin that goes down to your clit from the top?
Uh-huh.
That is, like, also, like, slightly external.
Slightly
but it's
external.
Not popping out. It's, like,
right.
even level with where my, like, outer labia begin at the top.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So you can, like, just, like, see it. So,
okay, so if you ride a bike, do you get, like, way too much
mm-hmm.
stimulation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so hard. But that's also, like, I think one of the reasons why I've said... I said this in the past, also in episode 4, we talked a lot about some sexy stuff, is that sometimes I can just kind of get myself off by squeezing my thighs together.
Oh my God, that's so amazing.
But in part, that's because I kind of have this, like,
right.
external situation going on.
Oh my God, that's so
on.
Amazing.
Now.
Magical.
Yeah. That all said, I've come to really like my pussy.
Uh-huh.
But when I was younger, I didn't like my pussy that much, and that's because those kinds of pussies, where things are a little more external, are not what you see, like, in porn or in magazines. And even this porn star that we were watching was talking about
how
she didn't like the external inner labia that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, what is up with that? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't fucking know.
I've seen vaginas where the... the outer what generally are called labia majora, but are often small.
Yeah.
And are so small that it's mostly the outer labia that you see.
You mean the inner labia?
Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah, it's so small that it's mostly the inner labia that you see.
Yeah.
And like, so this comes to the concern of like, I don't think there can be a wrong vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh,
like,
no.
You know what I mean?
No,
like,
definitely not.
Like, there's not, like, a wrong way for a vagina to be.
No, there isn't. And
you know?
It's definitely fucked up that we're... But the funny thing is, like, so I've... one of the ways that I got over, like, my pussy... However, I have to say I was slightly traumatized by one of my first lovers, who was a woman, who told me that my vagina was weird because it was like that.
Oh, my God.
And, like, not only that, in front of me, went around telling people, like, yeah, her, like, yeah, like...
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, and but the thing is, she would describe it in these really weird ways, that she would say, yeah, her clit popped out in the shower, which is not true. It's not my, like, clit, necessarily. It's
what?
See, like, the upper... Yeah, and people would be like... They were like, people would be like, how does that happen? And I'd be like, I don't know, because that's not what happened. But...
If your clit is popping out, it means you're fucking aroused,
exactly.
And it's time for sexy time.
Yeah.
That's not, like, a bad thing.
Yeah. But so, but the thing is, so, like, so, yeah, that sucked. And, you know, she sucked for a lot of fucking reasons. But I am very grateful that I'm gay and have since seen so many fucking pussies. I actually once was with someone who had an identical pussy to mine. It was so... weird. And neither of us said anything about it at first.
Whoa, it's like twin pussies?
Yeah, we had twin pussies. We, no relation, we're not related.
Whoa. Yeah. I don't know what I would do if I encountered that.
Well, like, it was like we'd banged like a few times before we like talked about it, and then like one day we were in bed and I was like, you know, you and I have the same pussy, and she was like, yeah, I know. It's so weird. Yeah.
It looked the same, but did y'all like the same kind of stimulation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
Wow.
No. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I've talked to this person since then. We were together a long time ago, but it sounds like both of us have changed a little bit, but at the time we were like into the same kind of stimulation and all that stuff. So yeah, no, it was good. It was easy breezy. But the thing is, while I was looking at her pussy, which is my pussy, I thought it was so fucking hot. And I was like, oh, I do have a hot pussy. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
That's great.
And the thing is, I've also seen pussies that are very different,
mm-hmm.
You know, that are like more of the classical type or whatever, you know, and you know what's also interesting is I found a lot of women, first of all, any woman I know with any type of pussy at some point in their life had shame about how their pussy looked, which is like just such a fucking tragedy to me.
It is.
That everyone at one point thought their pussies were ugly because I don't know.
I'm weird this way. I never thought my pussy was ugly. I just thought it was interesting.
Well, you're better than all of us.
I don't mean it that way.
No, you are. You are.
I have suffered from a sort of no body issues, which is to say I really like my body. And I always have, since I was a kid. So
yeah, I don't
it's
know.
Weird.
I don't know
why.
I don't know. All I know is you fucking rule. That's all I know.
I highly recommend this to everyone to just like make peace with your vessel, because
mm-hmm.
it I think that being worried about your body all the time takes up so much brain space.
Oh, absolutely.
And you could be using that brain space to create things and to like enjoy food.
Yeah. And sex.
These are the things that I use my brain space for, that I recommend. But yeah, there's something to be said for like, yeah, getting real at peace with like your vessel and its different parts.
Yeah.
And
no, I would agree.
I think I just kind of looked down at your pussy when I said that. But
yeah. By the way, I'm not naked. However, I am not wearing underwear. I'm in my shorts. And
oh.
I'm not wearing underwear.
Oh.
So,
you have a tampon in.
Yes.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, you're like, wait, because you're bleeding.
I'm like, wait a second.
I might have bled on your sheets last
You
night,
are wearing red shorts.
I might have bled on your sheets.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
They're red sheets.
Anyway.
We're prepared.
Yeah. So there's it's a house of blood, house of scandal. but the thing is, like, I've never encountered someone's pussy and been like, ugh.
Right.
Actually, that's not true. But let me tell you why. It had nothing to do with the pussy. The only times that I've ever, like, looked at someone's pussy and been unhappy, it was because I was fucking someone who I didn't really want to be fucking.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was just like, this is your pussy, and this is a reminder
that I don't,
I don't want to be down here, but I am.
I think it might be possible to encounter a pussy that was not as clean or well-kept as I would prefer.
How do you define well-kept? So we've talked about pussy hair before.
Right, but, so, like, I don't... To me, okay, so if there's... Did we talk about, like, the dreading? Didn't that come up in another episode?
Dreads, yeah.
So, like, I think if I encountered that, I would be a little bit put off. I have never encountered that, though. So that's just a hypothetical scenario in my head.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... I actually like pussy hair. I like pussies all most of the ways they come, I guess. I think that if these are matted, I would be concerned.
Yeah, I think I've experienced some matting, but that was people who I was, like, already, like, really comfortable with, and then, you know, I did the thing, and it's not like I was, like, I wanted to suck on the matting and wanted to suck the dreads.
Right.
But, you know, I just, like, pushed them aside, and then later was like, you know, you got some dreads down there, and they were like, okay, and then, like, they dealt with it. You know, just like I would. Similarly, I should
qualify that, though, because I think for women of color, dreading might, or not, like, long dreading, obviously, but, like, having small, how do I put this? Like, the hair is different. We know that.
Sure.
And so, like, the way that it's, I don't want to, sometimes when people say dreads, they automatically think it has to do with a certain type of hair, and I just want
to,
like,
we're talking about, like, when your discharge gets matted in
your
hair.
Right, okay, yeah, that's, I just want to make it clear
about.
That, like, that's not what we're talking about.
No, we're not talking about, like, different kinds of hair. Okay,
yeah.
You know what, that actually brings up something, which is, and I've found this from women of a lot of different racial backgrounds, is some women have a lot of concern about the color of their pussy. And I'm not just talking about people of color. I'm talking about, like, you know, white people as well. I think there's something, like...
Pussies come in different colors.
They do. Here's a trick, though. Actually, I'm curious if this is true for you, but what I've noticed is I've noticed a strong correlation in the size of someone's lips on their face and the color of someone's lips on their face and then the color of their pussy, that they tend to be very similar.
Interesting.
I've also found, with only one exception, that the color of the eyebrows matches the
color of
the pussy
hair.
Yes,
that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
And the lips one, now that you say it, I think in my experience has been true as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm never going to look at women's faces.
No, I know. I told this to a friend of mine who seems to hate the idea of anyone's genitals. She's kind of on the asexual scale. Not all aces are sex repulsed, I should say, but this person tends to be a little sex repulsed. And she was like, fuck you for telling me this. Now I'm always going to be like looking at people's faces and thinking about their goddamn genitals.
I really love that Trey Songz video, and not video, song Cake, because it's all about eating pussy.
Oh.
And he has this line about red velvet and chocolate and vanilla, describing different kinds of pussies.
Yeah,
that I think is he just sounds really hungry, and it's hot.
Yeah.
In the song. Are you looking at our time?
Yeah.
I think we've got like, we're like at 57 minutes.
Yeah, we have a few minutes.
You know, we have a few minutes left.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, I think my pussy's hot. I love other people's pussies. Oh, there's a great diagram. You know, actually, and I should say that I feel like the notion, the longer inner labia that, you know, you and I both seem to have, one side that's longer than the other, it's weird. I feel like that's such I've known people who are mostly, straight women who haven't seen a lot of other pussies and will be like drunk or whatever, and they'll confess that to me, and like it'll be like really sad about it, and I'm like, sweetie, that's totally normal.
One boob's slightly lower than the other, that's totally normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, have I told you I named my boobs?
No, what are your boobs?
So the bigger one, this is this one that I'm pointing at right now, it's my left boob. This is Cheetos, and then the other one is Dumpy.
Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah, Cheetos and Dumpy.
So have I told you that, so I've got my boobs.
Yeah.
And then I have boob fat under my right armpit.
Okay.
That I call, I think it's had different names over the years. It's been like one partner called it Glenda Glander, because for a long time I thought it was like my armpit gland.
Gotcha.
But then it's actually, called something else. The something of Spence.
Hmm.
Anyway, and then right now it's just like my third tit. Mm-hmm. Some people who have that have an actual, like, third nipple over there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. Or they have it on the side of their body, mm-hmm. which I think is cool. I've known people that had a third nipple on the side of their body.
The more nipples, the better. I would love to have more nipples.
At first, that was actually something that I did have body issues with. Because I was like, why do I have this, like, what looks essentially like a big fat pocket
uh-huh.
underneath my armpit?
And it's only under one?
It's only under one. It's not under the other one.
Yeah.
But I've made peace with it, and, like, that's what I got now.
Yeah.
And I want to bring it up real quick before we get out of here.
Absolutely.
Because we were talking about pussy hair. There's this sort of, I think, cultural assumption that everyone's pussy hair is super curly, and that is not true.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No,
mine's
like straight.
Mine's, like, straight wavy, just, like, my hair is kind of straight
wavy. Yeah, if it gets longer, it starts curling a bit. But
right.
For the most part, mine's pretty straight.
Right, and I've encountered pussy hair that's really curly.
Yeah.
And I've encountered pussy hair that's straight.
Yeah.
And, again, there's no wrong way for that to be,
yeah.
you know? Like,
no.
I hope if anyone who's listening to this, what they get out of it is that, like, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter what your hair, your skin, your pussy color, your any body situation, like, it's not, there can't be a right or wrong pussy.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
yeah.
just, and, like, if anyone tries to tell you that, what they're actually talking about is, like, their own body issues.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Now that I'm thinking about it, the girl that pointed out all the quote-unquote problems with my pussy, yeah, she had a lot of pussy problems. I mean, not, there's nothing wrong
like,
with
not
pussy.
Like, not wrong with her pussy,
but,
yeah.
But, like, she, like, yeah, and she was one of those people who was really, like, upset with the color of her pussy and kept saying that it was purple when it wasn't, which was really weird. She's like, it's, like, purple. And I was like, it's not purple. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with her. But, yeah, that's the thing. Usually if someone's ragging on you for something wrong with their body, your body, there's usually something going on there.
It's always because they think something.
Yeah.
They personally hold themselves to some kind of impossible standard that they're not trying to get you to be held to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. We should shut this down. Any final words?
It was such a pleasure.
I missed you so much. I know that listeners are probably like, no, come back, be here all the time, and
oh my god.
I
well
wish.
Whenever okay, so like it's not that expensive for me to fly up.
Yeah, fly up.
I'm gonna fly up.
Alright, fly
this
up.
Is gonna
we'll
happen.
Do more. We'll do
okay.
more. I also want you I wanna watch you and Miss Manus flirt a little bit and
oh my goodness.
I mean your lover can handle that.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, bye guys. Take care.
Bye. We'll be right back.